Well, we are studying the wonderful Word of God. We are on a new Hebrew letter today. And so if you'll turn to Psalm 119 and verses 129 through 136. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, if you are physically able. Psalm 119, we will read together all eight of these verses from 129 through 136. Beginning in verse 129, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." So once again, we're looking at the wonderful Word of God. And as I look at verse 129, this new Hebrew letter that we're looking at, it is the Hebrew letter Pei. And we're seeing how David is continuing to go through the different things about the Word of God that he loves. And in these first three verses, he's focusing on how the Word of God works in his life. And I want you to think about how the Word of God works in your life. And the first thing that David says, he is here in 129, he says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, doth my soul keep them." He says, you've given me something that I deem wonderful. And therefore, my soul is kind of drawn. My soul is just enticed, if you will, or just wants to keep them because they're wonderful. Okay? I mean, how many of you have come across something that you consider wonderful? Right? And are you kind of just not drawn to kind of keep it? Right? I'm talking about possession. About 18 and a half years ago, I found something wonderful. And I was compelled to keep it. Hi there. See, I was supposed to get brownie points for that. You all were supposed to go, "Oh, you know, okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay, good, good. You're getting it now. There you go." But, I mean, really, right? I mean, God's Word, this book ought to be it just ought to strike you. It just ought to grasp hold of you. And you say, "Man, it's just so wonderful. I just want to keep it." And then now I'm talking about not just in possession, but in action. In doing what it says to do. And living how it says to live. Because you find it wonderful. Wonderful. Now that word wonderful, it means to excite wonder or to excite admiration. Is surprise. It is astonishing. That's wonderful. Does the Word of God surprise you? Does the Word of God astonish you? Do you admire it? Are you, is there a sense of wonder that you have for this book and the God of this book? Does it draw you in? I kind of hate to do this, but how many of you have watched a good movie lately? Or read a good book lately? Besides the Bible, okay? All right? An author that writes a movie, or a script writer, or a director that produces movies and things like that, what are they trying to do? They're trying to draw you into this world of fantasy or this idea so that you're just engulfed by it, right? (Clears throat)
What do you think the author of this book wants? Does it draw you in?
Hey, listen. If I'm going to sit down and watch something, I want to watch it. I don't want distractions. I don't want to do anything else. I don't want to pay attention to anybody else. I want to watch this movie. Or I want to watch this football game. Or I want to watch, you know, whatever it is. This TV show. I'm kind of like this. Now, how many of us are like that with the book? The book. Or you pick up a novel, right? And all of a sudden you find yourself 257 pages into it. You know, you picked it up at 3 o'clock and now it's midnight and you're like, oh, I need to go to bed. But I don't want to go to bed. Okay, I don't know if I've ever had that relationship with a book before. You understand? Man. For me, it's more like I'll get into a trilogy of movies and I'll start on one. I just want to watch them all. So I binge watch about 12 hours of movies. You know, what a waste of time, right? But I'm just saying, it draws you in. There's a sense of amazement, a sense of excitement. And I'm just asking you, can you say what David says? Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. What a great attitude to have about the Word of God, the commandments of God, the statutes of God, the precepts of God, the testimonies of God. Do we feel that way? Are our lives that way? In Psalm 33, David says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness, of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? Psalm 40 verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Just a few chapters to the left there. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Have you made God wonderful to your children and to your children's children? Have you made the Word of God wonderful to your children and to your children's children, so that they will set their heart on God, so they will give him praise for his wonderful works and not forget his works, and they would set their hope in God, but keep his commandments. There it is. Therefore doth my soul keep them. It's the wonder that we need to pass on from generation to generation. The admiration, the surprise, the astonishment of what God and his word is. What an amazing thing. I hope you feel this way about God. I hope you feel this way about his word. In Psalm 111, it says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all of them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. You know, it's exciting to know that God loves us. He remembers us. But do we remember him? Do we remember him? He says, it says here that he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. Let's go back to the corollary we were talking about just a minute ago with movies and books and entertainment out there. Listen, I'm as guilty as anybody here. The movies or the books and things that I've read that are memorable, I can quote lines from them. Right? Or remember funny parts of it, or exciting parts of it, or this or that, come to remembrance. I mean, for crying out loud, words of songs that I used to listen to that I don't even want to remember, I remember. I'm going through Walmart or in an elevator and this tune starts playing and I can sing all the words. And I shouldn't be able to because it's a terrible song. You all have had that problem before, right? Yeah. Oh. But what about the wonderful word of God? What about God and his wonderful works? The Bible says he has made them memorable. How are we doing? David said, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. In Isaiah 9:6, we just went through the Christmas season. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, we know that Jesus is wonderful. His name is wonderful. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He's to be remembered. He's amazing. He's astonishing. There should be great admiration and excitement at the name of Jesus, at the thought of Jesus, if we take time to remember. In Acts chapter 3, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. As David says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. In your life, as you view the word of God this way, does it cause anyone else to be filled with wonder and amazement at what God has done in you through his word?
Hey, through this man, by the name of Jesus Christ, a great wonder had been done. And they were all filled with wonder and an amazement. In our lives, has the work that Jesus Christ has done in us through His name caused others to be filled with wonder and amazement? Just a thought. Just a thought. Because if I think something's wonderful, I want you to think it's wonderful too. I'm going to tell you about it. Hey, if I see a movie, and it's a pretty cool movie, it's pretty amazing, I'm going to tell you about it. Right? Because, whoa, it did this, and it did that, and it, whoa, and it did, oh, this line, this guy was so funny, this guy was so cool, this, you know, whatever. Right? Yeah. Or when this music played, or when this happened, or when this did this, and this special effect, and oh, it was amazing. When's the last time you told someone about this book? The wonder of His testimonies. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, I thought I knew what the word light meant. I was amazed when I looked it up, the depth of the definition. I'm going to read it to you because it helps make this verse make sense. It says the ethereal agent or matter which makes objects perceptible to the sense of seeing. But the particles which are separately invisible. Now that's very scientific. All right? But it's basically the agent or matter which makes an object perceptible to the sense of seeing. So light is an agent that allows you to see something. All right, do you understand? I guess I didn't really know that that's what light was. All right, but by itself, the particles of itself, if you will, separately, are invisible. I mean, can you see light? You understand? We get a prism out and we can break it up into the different spectrum. I went to science class. I know all of that. But think about it. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. In other words, this is the vehicle that allows us to see things. The Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It allows us to see the path of God. It allows us to see the way of God. It allows us to see the things of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Isn't that amazing? I just think of it in that sense. That this book, the entrance of thy words, giveth light. Without them, we wouldn't know which way to go. We wouldn't know what to do. We wouldn't know how to think. We wouldn't know how to go about our way. We'd be bouncing around in darkness. Because this is light. It allows us to see. It makes things perceptible. The Word of God. It's amazing. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 6, I'm going to read to you out of 2 Peter while you're turning there. In 2 Peter 1 it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's the light that shineth in darkness, folks. It makes things perceivable. Without it, we stumble and fall. We fumble our way through life because we don't know which way to go. It's not in and of ourselves, is it? But through the Word of God that we can see. David said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Are you there in Proverbs 6? Look at verse 20. Solomon says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What a verse. What a group of verses. I think Solomon knew what his father had said by verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You want to know something sad? In 1 Samuel chapter 3, a very dark time in the history of the children of Israel. Listen to what the Bible says. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And let me just stop there. That may have been physical, but I perceive also that it was spiritual. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Oh, listen, I truly believe that was literal in his physical state. But oh, what a picture of the spiritual darkness that was going on in that day. Has the lamp of God gone out in your life? See, how does that happen, Pastor Combs? Stop reading this book. Stop allowing this book to be your guide. Stop allowing this to be the light in your life to help you perceive things, to see things. Not as man sees them, because that's darkness, but as God sees them. That's light. In Psalm 25, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. David says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Don't forget what we talked about understanding. Understanding is simply seeing it the way that God sees it. That's understanding. And the only way we can do that is through the Word of God. It's that vehicle that allows us to perceive us the object. It's the matter which makes an object perceptible to the sense of seeing. It's amazing. That's what the Word of God should be to us. In John 16, the Bible tells us, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. In John 14:26 it says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to bring these things to our remembrance. What things? The things that God taught us through his word. Yeah. He's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to lead us according to the word of God. Paul told Timothy that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. As you go back to Psalm 119, and we'll look at verse 131. One last verse that I think hits home this idea of the light of the Word of God is Psalm 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You want to see things clearly? Look at him this way. You say, I can't see anything. Oh, I can see a lot. A lot more clear than this way. Look at things through the Word of God. It'll make the objects perceptible by the seeing sense. All right, are you there? Verse 131. Well, look at that. You guys are turning through scriptures well. We are flying through this just perfectly. You're all doing a great job for the new year. I'm so excited for your progress. Look at verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Now, we've talked about this subject in the past. But I think one more time, we need to consider, especially the first Sunday of this new year, where is your level of desire for this book? Where? Post you out a scale somewhere. Where is my level of desire for this book? Is it kind of, eh? Or is it, Or is it, eh? Or, I'm doing sound levels now. Isn't that cool? Where is it? Is it low? Medium? High? Or is it out of this world? Where's it at? I think David says, it's up here. He said, I opened my mouth and panted. What does that show? Does that show a craving? Does it show an appetite? Does that show a necessity? Okay, I'm not trying to cool myself. It's chilly enough out there, right? But where's the desire? Do you need the Word of God? Is it a necessity for you? In Psalm 42, we understand this psalm very well. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Do you thirst after God? Do you pant after him and his word? I've often referenced this to the addiction world. And although I've never ever smoked a cigarette, I do know about the topic as far as what it does to people. When I was in boot camp, we weren't allowed to have any kind of those types of things. And it's amazing how these guys that I was with would go through withdrawals, whether it was alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, you know, whatever it was. And it was amazing. We were in there for 8 weeks. Now, medically speaking, that addiction was over with. But mentally speaking, it wasn't. And there were guys on graduation day, when they were kind of freed from those dictates, they would run to the PX and buy a pack of cigarettes. They hadn't had a cigarette in 8 weeks. And they just had to have one. They couldn't wait to get it back in their hands. Oh. I mean, it was just amazing. Of course, I didn't really fully understand that because I had never had that issue. But you know, honestly, you can read about this, but these people that have these addictions, as soon as they wake up, I mean, they're slapping the counter trying to get a cigarette. It's amazing. Where is that with us? I can think of days where I can go for quite a while without thinking about, oh, I need to read my Bible today. It doesn't grip me like that addiction grips some people. But why not? Why not? Shouldn't it? David says, hey, I opened my mouth and I panted for I longed for thy commandments. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, can say in this 2022, we need to pant after God. We need to thirst after Him and His Word. Remember Psalm 19, we talked about the Word of the Lord the commandments of the Lord being pure, enlightening the eyes. In verse 10 it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We talked about this back in Psalm 119, verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Solomon says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. You see, that's talking about wisdom. What do you think this is? Yeah. We just talked about in Psalm 6 how we're supposed to bind them and keep them and lay hold and grasp hold upon them. I don't know if you've ever been thirsty before. When you're thirsty, you just want a glass of water and you want all of it. You ever been thirsty for this book? Earlier we talked about not being able to put a book down. Or not be able to stop a movie or a TV show or a series that you're watching. When was the last time you couldn't put this thing down? When was the last time you were so thirsty for it? So longing for it? So desirous of it that you just couldn't put it down? You say, oh, that can't happen. Yes, it can. Colossians 1:9. Paul says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You know, as we read, as we study, as we begin to eat up or drink up the Word of God, we grow. We develop. We're strengthened. We're increased. We're fruitful unto every good work. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Tasted it? David said he panted. He longed for his commandments. In 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We talked this morning about the branch abiding in the vine. Without him, we can do nothing. And can I say, without this book, we can do nothing. Do you have a desire, a craving, an appetite for the Word of God? Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you feel that way? Didn't Jesus say something similar about thou shalt not live by bread alone? But what? But by the words that proceed from the mouth of God. How do you live? What do you live by? Job said it's better than my necessary food. David said he panted and longed for the commandments of God. In Deuteronomy 10, look at verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's. Thy God, the earth also, and all that therein is. Only the Lord hath had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, and a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of the heaven for multitude. You see, the chapter ends off there, but I want you to look at the next verse. In chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, because of all this, folks. You see, there were no chapter and verse divisions in the Bible when, as it was being written. So, The first word of this chapter, you say, well, it's a new chapter. Yeah, but it's a continuation. It says, therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Colossians 3, I've read this to you before. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Where's your affection? Where's your love? Where's your vision, your focus? Is it on godly things or on fleshly things? Is it on the Word of God or something else? You know, I'm really encouraged by David's attitude these first verses, three verses of this segment. His testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. It's the wonderful word of God, folks. David said in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. It's the wonderful word of God, folks. How's the longing for his word? How's the light of his word? Does it help you to see? And is it wonderful to you? I hope it is more than it was last year and continues to be as you go forward.